عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. Welcome to Radio Islam International Streaming News Program this Saturday morning. Another wonderful, wonderful day it is, Alhamdulillah. Just nonetheless, it would be an excellent and an awesome day out on the waters. With us on the line, we have Ali Mangli. Ali, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mulana Sajjad Timol, and to all our wonderful listeners, like you say, on a wonderful Saturday morning.
Looks like it's going to be one of those. Both of us got a bit late this morning, Ali.
Huh?
I say both of us got late this morning.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't feeling so well, so I took some medication, and eventually the medication took me.
Medication took you. Adil, weather looks wonderful today once again. It seems excellent weather once again, and good times to be out on the water.
100%. I mean, Sunday morning it was, we said let's just go and try some fishing for a couple of hours, so we went over to Carltonville Boskop. And the water was crystal clear. And the conditions looked perfect for fishing, but I think it was just too cold that time of the morning.
Okay.
So we fished till about 11 o'clock and came back, and we didn't catch anything. But there were some other guys that from Azadwal and that who were there, and they say the fish came on a bite at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oof.
And some of them had to actually wade in a little bit, but even the guys who were wading in said the water was very cold, you know.
Right.
But I think a few fish did come out last week. So looks like the bass fishing is now going to be on the, on the bite.
I was also actually out last week, you know this.
Where you went?
We will talk a bit later about that, inshallah. We actually had an exceptionally good trophy veggies. Just to wet the taste buds a little bit.
Yeah.
We caught one, basically, besides the many other fish, just two of them. One was a 3.5, one was a 4.8.
Sure, then means you must have went to Botswana.
No, so just like I said, just to wet the taste buds a little bit. Nonetheless, like you said, today we're going to be speaking to Brother Luqman Mia.
Yeah.
Brother Farooq Hassan, we're going to try and get hold of him out this weekend. I think they said in the bush, if I'm not mistaken.
He did say something like that, yeah.
So, a bit later, inshallah, in the program, we're going to try and get hold of him as well, inshallah. Our brain of the day, of course, for today, not to forget. And much more. We need to speak about your trip coming up next weekend as well, Adil, inshallah.
Inshallah.
So, there's still a lot to speak about. Let's just go for a quick nasheed, inshallah, and when we're back, we'll continue with the program.
No problem.
Muhammad Mu'azzam Salam عليكم مفضل مكرم سلام عليكم محمد معظم سلام عليكم محمد سلام عليكم محمد معظم سلام عليكم وسيم وسيم نسيم يتيم وسيم وسيم نسيم يتيم حكيم كليم سلام عليكم حكيم محمد معظم سلام عليكم سلام عليكم بشير نذير سلام عليكم.
السلام عليكم. Yes, welcome to Screaming Views once again. We just did an introduction. We've got Brother Luqman Mia on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Luqman.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Arif?
Alhamdulillah, shukar, Luqman. The weather is starting to change now.
Gee.
Lots of reports.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to all the listeners as well.
Wa alaikum assalam. There's lots of reports from the local guys saying that the bass fishing is now picking up locally. Before we go into our discussion on bass, tell us what's happening on your side. Did you guys get any news?
Gee, like you mentioned, you know, locally, wherever, in all provinces, all dams, this time of the year, the bass is a lot easier to catch, and that's why people are catching them all over the show.
Luqman, last weekend we went to Carltonville Boskop. And it was quite early in the morning, you know, the water was crystal clear, you could see right through. But that time of the morning, we didn't really see any action. But the guys that were there the whole day, they say the fishing sort of improved towards the afternoon. Do you think there's any reason for this?
Yeah, generally what happens is, you know, if you wake up in the morning, there's still a nip in the air.
Right.
So those fish obviously just wait for the water to warm up a little bit. And that's why generally, but also being a crystal clear dam, it's easier to catch them later in the evening when it's low light conditions. Because when they see you, they're obviously already spooked.
Okay.
So it's best to fish them either very early in the morning or very late in the evening.
And then,
especially when you're fishing clean dams.
In the very clean dams.
Yeah.
And some of the guys were talking about having to just wade a little bit in to get to some sort of some deeper water, and then they were picking up the bigger ones. Now, going back to your discussion a couple of weeks ago, you said that it's the big females that sort of stay in the deeper water. Is that correct?
Actually, that's what happens. Your male fish is the one that actually comes and prepares the nest and get everything ready for the spawn. And then your female sits in a deeper water, waiting until it's the right time, right water temperature. And when all that obviously coincides, then they come into the shallows to spawn.
Now, in terms of bass, Luqman, tell me, do both the male and the female look after the eggs, or is it just the male?
No, it's just the, well, male will just prepare the nest.
Right.
And then the female is the one that would look after the eggs, and obviously also the fry, once they've hatched. Then they look after the fry until they get to just past what we call a fingerling size, which is about maybe 4 to 5 centimeters. And then obviously those fry then are on their own.
And now coming back to our discussion originally, I just wanted to look at this morning fishing and afternoon fishing story. Most of the time, the guys do a lot of bass fishing in the mornings and in the afternoons. What sort of baits or colors do people need to target in low light and high light and stuff like that?
It all also depends on, like you said, water clarity. In bass fishing, in a cleaner waters, you use what we call a light color lure light. In your plastic worms, it would be like a watermelon, which is a light green, or green pumpkin. But when you go to the low light conditions, then you use a dark color like black or chunbag, which is a dark purple.
Mm-hmm.
And in dirty water, obviously, you'd also use dark colors. You know, the theory is light or clean water, light colors. Dark or dirty water is you go to dark color.
Look, well, if I may just ask you, generally the spawning time that we're talking about, how long does it last for?
It depends on temperatures in different parts of the country. So you'll get, for example, dams in the northern parts where it's a lot warmer, they would start spawning in August, September. As you come south, where it gets a bit, you know, a bit colder, like Voskop, and if you go Vaal Dam, then it would be sort of the September, October. Vaal Dam, sometimes the bears have also spawned in November.
Mm.
So it's all according to water temperature and which waters warm up first.
Okay.
Lugman, going back to this colors, what other colors are available, or what are the common colors that are used?
Look, there's top four or five colors that most bass fishermen know about. And for those that don't, you know, you got watermelon, which is a green. You got green pumpkin, which is a brown. And then you got the black. You got the June bug or purple. And then in your watermelon, you get different variations with different color flakes in them. You'll get watermelon with a red flake, watermelon purple, watermelon green, watermelon red. So it's all different variations. But your standard colors would be the black, watermelon, green pumpkin, and maybe the June bug. Those are your standard colors to go for.
Okay. Lukman, jazakumullah for your time this morning. We'll catch up with you, inshallah, another weekend.
Wait, before Lukman goes away,
they
said they were going to do some fishing soon.
Inshallah, we'll be making a trip next week to Botswana. But my brother and I just returned from a trip there.
Yeah.
And the fishing was tough, but they caught some very nice fish, you know. Brother Naeem Baum, we'll give him fame for a few minutes today. He's from Costa. He got his personal best, was a 5.6. He also got a 4.8. They got 4.4s, 4.1. So really, this time of the year, the fishing, like I say, you know, it's just those big females that come into spawning. If you want to catch your biggest bass, this time of the year, you just got to choose the right venue. And your chances of catching your biggest, or what bass fishermen or many fishermen term as a personal bass, if you want to break it or get it, this is the time of the year to do it.
But, look, when you're saying that the fishing was a bit tough, is it that the fishing is perhaps starting a bit later than normal in those areas?
No, what has happened in most of our, you know, dams that fish well, fishing pressure takes its toll, you know. You got, number one, people that are not considerate and obviously don't share. And what they do is they tend to deplete the resources and take as many fish as they can out instead of just limiting your catch. You know, there's a saying that go, don't catch your limit, limit your catch.
Mm.
Because there's so many fishermen now around and one has to be more considerate. So fishing pressure is taking toll on most of our dams, you know, whether it's the, if you go a couple of years back to the Renosterkop, it was the premier passing destination in a country.
Mm.
Guys from Durban and Cape Town and all over used to come just to Renosterkop to fish. But look at it today, you know, you can go and you're catching fish, but not the same qualities and not the same numbers. The same happened with Riz de Winter as well. Riz de Winter used to be also one of the premier dams. But fishing pressure, one is people just taking far too many fish out. And then obviously the amount of people fishing one particular venue.
Mm.
Like at the moment, Letsibogo in Botswana, you know, there's so many fishing. And not that it's a wrong thing, it's just all the fishermen want to go and try and catch that big fish. So there's nothing wrong in everybody going. And that's that fishing pressure we're talking about. There's so many boats on the dam every single day.
Mm.
So the fish do become more wiser, they do tend to sit deeper, they don't bite as much and as well as they used to do, or they did 2-3 years ago. Even this year was tough, and like I say, it's purely because of the fishing pressure. There's nothing more to it.
Okay.
I wonder, I hope screening reels didn't have anything to do with it.
It's a good thing for everybody, you know. What it does is it's more. It's a good sign to see that more and more people are fishing.
Mm.
Because people are then getting away from, you know, what we call bad things out on the streets. And going and at least fishing and enjoying nature and doing all the things that are permissible in Islam.
But I think what's very important, like you mentioned, is to learn that respect and to, you know, become sort of conservation friendly, you know, focus on looking after the environment rather than destroying the environment, because if we're going to do that, then obviously we're not going to have opportunities to go out to dams and rivers, etc., and picnic and enjoy nature in future.
That's what we'll have to do. I didn't make mention of it last year. You know, if we don't preserve or conserve our current resources, we're just making it more difficult for the future generations that want to fish. And we would all like to see our children also enjoying or doing fishing and enjoying it.
Mm.
But if we don't be considerate, we don't be moderate in what we do, we don't respect, we don't protect what we have, we're just making it more difficult for them. You know, like we said, this is a spawning fish, and we encourage, you know, those, when you catch a bass, a big nice female bass that you see that's full of eggs, rather put it back for it to complete its spawn.
Mm.
Because then once it completes its spawn and those fingerlings hatch, that's already future generation of future fish for the future. But if you're going to take those big females out, number one is you taking bass fishing, or is a lot like people that know stud farming or stud breeding.
Mm.
They tend to keep the biggest bulls or rams or whatever for the best genes, so that your future gene pools that get transferred to those fry in the smaller fish or smaller animals, should I say, is always good genes, or those animals will always be strong and healthy. Same with bass. If you put a big female back, those big 4 kilo plus fish back, your future fry that are going to hatch will always be those healthy, strong, and for a longer period of time you'll continue catching big fish in that piece of water. Now that's what's going to happen at the Tletse Boho. You know, for the 5-6 years now that we've been fishing it, if you continue taking the biggest fish out, give it another 3-4 years, those gene pools that are going to get transferred, it's shrinking all the time. You know, then you say, for example, today your biggest fish you're getting is 5 or 6 kilo. Now if you take those 5-6 kilos out, by next year your biggest fish you're catching is a 4 kilo, 4.5 kilo.
Mm.
Next year you take the 4.5 kilos out, then the following year your biggest fish, I only call it 3-3.5 kilo. And as the years go by, that gene pool or those fish that are going to be in those dams will continue shrinking. And that's what happened. You know, we've seen it over and over. Clear evidence is a dam is near Nelspruit, we call it Three Kopjes.
Mm.
And that's exactly what happened at Three Kopjes. People went out and just depleted the stock till there were no big fish left. And now the fish are being caught as thin, scrawny fish. Same at Rusdevante, same at Renosterkop. And, you know, the fear is if it's going to all the dams, we're just making it difficult for ourselves.
Mm. Very interesting stuff that you just mentioned. There's so much of it. You know, if you take our own example, I always remember stories that my father used to tell me, or my brothers, they said, of going to dams like Harbour Pier Sport and stuff like that, and catching lots and lots of fish. And we are the next generation, and we are now experiencing this very, very low level of fishing. I mean, for me, a good day's fishing is a catch 5. Previously, I know the guys used to talk about a good day's fishing, talking about 20, 30 fish. What's going to happen to my kids? Is it going to be a good day's fishing? You just went and saw a couple of dead fish on the water and you got happy. I don't know. You're right, 100%. If we're not going to look after the environment, then, you know, how much of an environment will be there in the future?
That's exactly what happened with the Karpas out there also, Adil?
Yes.
Rukman, I remember there used to be that private spot that people used to go to, and unfortunately, it just boils down to our own people, unfortunately, that don't respect the areas. And it's sad. I mean, a lot of things they say to people, if we learn to respect the places and we learn to behave in these areas, this is alone a means of da'wah to so many of the non-Muslims that come there. But nowadays when you're on the waters and you actually hear this remark from the people that it's you Indian people that are doing this. And of course when they mean Indian, then it's 9 out of 10, unfortunately, our Muslim people that are doing this sort of a thing. Where we kind of disrespecting the area, the facilities, the owners, whoever it may be in and around those areas there. So I think it's something interesting and an interesting topic to actually bring up. Maybe we should get one of these people in the future to discuss this with us on A, inshallah. Jazakumullah for your time this morning, inshallah. We'll try to catch up with you next week. Perhaps you can leave us with a number next week when you're going, or maybe if you can send us an SMS or something, we'll call you then, inshallah.
Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Once again, Mulana Timo will be undertaking a trip to Rajasthan for Qurbani. Many people there live well below the poverty line and only eat meat on the days of Eid al-Adha. Support this cause at 875 for 7 shares or 125 per share. Contact Mulana Timo or Mulana Sajjad or Mulana Hamad on 011-852-6324 or 8538 or 8584 or 072-299-268. All slaughtering will be supervised by Mulana Timo. Visit www.operationqurbani.org.za.
It's sale time at Pay and Save, the fabric and bridal center in Lenasia. Exclusive beaded and evening wear fabrics up to 70% off. Printed stretch knits from 15 rands per meter. Abaya fabrics from 28 rands per meter. Men's kurta fabrics from 15 rands per meter. Trimmings and motifs up to 50% off. There's only one fabric sale. It's the Pay and Save sale at 5 Pelican Avenue, Lenasia. Telephone number 011-852-4910. Pay and save, usually unusual fabrics. Sale ends 12th of September.
Al Tawheed Islamic Center, Qurbani 2015. A grade animals available from 1,500. You may slaughter with us for your own consumption or donate the meat for distribution. We distribute meat parcels to poor and indigenous Muslims at various of our centers across Gauteng, Mpumalanga, and the Northwest. All proceeds will go to upgrade the Wheeler's Farm Masjid and Madrasa. Banking details as follows: Standard Bank account number 202-566-889, branch 015-137, reference Qurbani. For more information, call 011-854-9510 or visit us at the Trade Route Moore shop number L31 next to Celsius.
The world sure has changed. Everything nowadays seems to be new and improved. Products are updated before they're old enough to be old. Then you get the classics that keep getting it right time after time, because nothing beats an original, like Sunshine D Margarine and Spreads. High in vitamin D, Sunshine D has been trusted by generations of families in South Africa to deliver that smooth, great taste to celebrate those special occasions, big and small. Now who would want to change that?
Anytime is Shalala time with Sunshine D.
Still using rusty old wheelbarrows? No, no, no. Get a Trojan trolley from Trojan Trolleys and Casters. It's powerful, it's strong, it's reliable. Trojan Trolleys and Casters, manufacturers and importers of trolleys, casters, wheels, ladders and more. Now boasting an all-new range of products, bringing you the best deals for 30 years. We deliver nationwide. Visit trojantrolleys.co.za or call 011-334-2590. Trojan Trolleys and Casters. We keep Africa rolling.
Get ready for summer by shopping at Lenasia Fashion Palace. Our summer trends are scorching hot, but our prices won't burn you. Save money on all designer brands of clothing, footwear and accessories. For fashionable couture that caters for all, dress your children in the best brands. Hurry down to the Fashion Palace, shop 161 Grand Place Lenasia, or call 011-854-5091 for a shopping experience that never ends.
get one free stickies with every 150 rand spent this weekend at Pick and Pay with everyday low prices. Jacob's regular mile, excluding decaf, 200 grams, 74.90. PNP white sugar, 2.5 kgs, 23.90. PNP long life assorted, 6x1 litre, 53.70. Lucky Star purchase assorted, 400 grams, buy any two for 27 rand. Go on, collect them, trade them, and play the craziest games, only while stock lasts. Stickies, only at Pick and Pay, prices valid, 10 to 13 September 2015.
Kidmutal Awam Pilgrim Services once again offers you a variety of hotels and airlines for December 2015 Umrah. From only 20,000 to 29,900 rand per person. Contact us for your preference on date of travel, hotel and airline. Our Johannesburg office number on 011-852-8551. KZN office on 031-207-4410. And our Cape Town office on 021-633-8113. Khidmatul Awam, your preferred Hajj and Umrah service provider.
Are you looking for quality property investments that couple affordability with favorable returns and sustainable growth? Acumen's in-house project and construction management teams have an outstanding track record with extensive expertise and experience in the retail sector. Acumen earmarks and focuses on areas with high growth potential. Acumen develops, administers, and maintains brand new buildings, negotiates and signs long-term corporate leases, and collects and distributes rentals on time and on course. For real estate, real investment, and real returns, contact Acumen today to tailor an investment solution for you. 0861-22-786-36.
Screaming reels on Radio Islam is casting you into the exciting world of fishing.
Welcome back to Radio Islam International. Adil, you back with us on the line, brother?
I'm here, Mona.
Okay, Brother Farooq Hassan, unfortunately, we just can't get through to him. The lines it's just ringing. And we're gonna continue trying, inshallah, because if he is out in the bush today, it would be wonderful and amazing to actually speak to him out from there. And let's go to the lines. We've got a call on the line for the question that we posed early on. Let's go to call on line one. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Okay, where are you calling us from?
Sorry?
Where are you calling us from?
Amarensha.
Amarensha. Okay, and your name is?
Mohammed.
Mohammed. Mohammed, you like fishing?
Yeah.
And where do you go fishing, Mohammed?
I go Fal Dam, Plumoff Dam.
Okay.
Do you do fishing at Amarensha Dam by any chance, Mohammed?
No.
But you know Amarensha Dam is a good spot for bears.
Yeah.
So you haven't tried your luck at it yet?
No.
Okay, you phone in to tell us the answer for Brain of the Day. Do you know the answer? What is oviparous?
I think it lays eggs.
Where did you get that answer from?
I learned it in school.
You learned it in school? And you know what, Mohammed? You were paying attention. Your science teacher will be very, very proud of you, mashallah. That's 100% correct. Oviparous or oviparous means that it's a egg-laying fish, or fish are egg-laying species. And very, very good stuff. Now, you've got the title of Brain of the Day.
Mm.
So you can go around the whole of Amarensha, inshallah, and tell everybody that you're the Brain of the Day. Okay, Mohammed?
Yes.
Masha'Allah, masha'Allah. Okay, seems really happy, Mohammed. Well done to you.
I need to be the fisherman of the day.
Yes?
I need to be the fisherman of the day.
You want to be the fisherman of the day? That's not a problem. You can be the fisherman of the week on Fishing Fanatics. Just submit some of your, your catches that you've caught it's ADIL at fishingfanatics.com, and inshallah we'll put you up on the website, okay?
Okay, Mohammed, for today we'll call you the brainy fisherman of the day on Radio Islam.
Yeah, that's a good one. And they say that eating a lot of fish is brain food also, Mohammed. So maybe you should have some fish for breakfast.
Mohammed, when last you went fishing?
I never go for long.
Why?
I thought I was too busy.
Who's too busy?
His father is too busy.
Father is too busy.
Mm.
Okay.
Then take a walk down to Amarensha Dam and make sure you go with some people, inshallah, and do some fishing there. You might get something.
Inshallah.
Inshallah, inshallah.
Okay, Mohammed.
Okay, Mohammed. Actually, I wanted to get hold of Farooq, because I see this article again. Now, you know, there's so many of them that keep on going around, but He would tell us whether it's true or not. It speaks about a scary elephant charging hikers in the Kruger.
When was this now?
I don't know. It's not giving any date to it, but actually one of the news websites got it.
Also, it's something that's from the news site.
Yeah.
You know, the thing about social media also, lots of people post things that sometimes happened a few years ago and they make you think that it's happening now. I hope it wasn't Farooq Hassan because he said he's going to. Inshallah. But you know what?
You just see the elephant charging.
Yeah.
It says you that you can watch the entire clip, but it just doesn't open. But in the picture, you see the elephant is a really big bull.
Now, let me go back to what I learned from Farooq Hassan from the Screaming Reels program.
Mm. Okay.
You remember he was talking about elephants being in must.
Yes.
And
yes.
He said even the word comes from this musty, when they're naughty and stuff.
Yes, yes.
He said it's a very dangerous time to be near elephants, especially bulls, because they're ready to breed and they are full of testosterone. And basically, if you come up with them and you get on the wrong side of them, they can attack you. But that's what he mentioned. Obviously, there's also the other aspect, going back to what Luqman was talking about in terms of us as human beings. I think in nature, 99% of the time, when people do get attacked, it's because they either spook the animal or they peered with the animal. Peered meaning that they went there and they sort of interfered with the animal. In nature, I think we need to learn to respect that in their environment, they want to, they're comfortable there. You are the intruder in the environment. So it's not advisable to just go now and start. You see a snake on the floor, you might have seen on YouTube or somewhere where the guy just goes and he picks up the snake and you try that and you don't know what snake it is. And, the snake could bite you, could strike at you. These are things that we must make sure when we're out in nature. Respect nature, but from a distance, you know. Enjoy the beauty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put there, but from a distance, and respect it in the sense that you don't go there and interfere with animals. I don't know, obviously, what happened, what was the cause of this whole incident that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wanted to mention that, you know, many times we don't realize that, certain animals are dangerous and we go and we interfere with them. I remember a couple of years back we went for a camp and the ranger was telling us it was just here in Krugersdorp Game Reserve. We went with the school. And he was telling us one thing that we must not do. Especially when it comes to, basically it's a rule of thumb for all animals. But he was referring to these monkeys. You know, you get monkeys coming around campsites and stuff usually.
Uh-huh.
And he says, one thing we do is, as human beings, we smile, right?
Uh-huh.
You're looking at the monkey and you smile because that's such a wonderful thing. And when you smile, you expose your teeth. That's the first problem because in the animal kingdom, when you expose your teeth, you're challenging that animal that, you know what, check my teeth, you see. Then they'll start showing you their teeth. Now you say, hey, this guy's smiling at me, I'm so happy. And the other thing is eye contact. If you make direct eye contact with the animal, then that animal thinks that you are challenging, and that's when they will start to, also challenge you. So the ranger was telling us that, try to avoid eye contact and don't smile exposing your teeth, because when they see your teeth, then they feel like you challenge you. So that's something very, very interesting, when it comes to nature.
Mm. Amazing, isn't it? Especially when you're doing that, you're advertising for Colgate also with it.
Yes. Some people will be very... You think people are angry now when they're walking around the bush because they're not going to be smiling.
Yeah, that's the problem. Aril, tell me plans for today, Aril?
Sure. I would love to tell you that I'm going fishing because it's a perfect weekend, but unfortunately the visa that I took out with the family was only for next weekend. So I didn't get the visa approved for today or tomorrow, and I don't know if I'm going to be doing fishing. Sometimes if the weather is nice and there is a little bit of hours to kill, then I'll take a drive maybe here to one of the spots very close to home, like Bergsach or, there's the Haya Safari Lodge and stuff like that. But I can't say that I've got any fishing plans for this weekend, but inshallah next weekend I will be taking a group out, and we are going, it's 20 youngsters inshallah from the school. We'll be going for the Sinde survival training camp,
at Willow Express with Uncle Idris Suleiman, and obviously his son-in-law Hamza will be there as well. And yeah, so far we've got quite a bit of preparation to do, but the youngsters are very, very excited. In fact, the one youngster that I'm taking in particular, maybe we'll get to talk to him next weekend, inshallah, when I'm there. When he comes to class, he can't concentrate on his work. He's just standing by my table all the time asking me 101 questions. So, when you see children that excited, then you yourself get excited about this type of a thing.
So 100%. I think there'll be something to look forward to Adil next weekend.
Definitely. But you know what? We'll talk about that next weekend. I'm very, very interested to know about this fish that you caught, because you just sent me something and I can see that the fish is a giant. And that is sort of like Botswana material. Did you go to Botswana last week?
No. What are you talking about now?
I'm talking about the fish. You said last week you went fishing. All the listeners heard.
Okay. Yeah, last week I was out fishing. And the fishing was very, very nice. Alhamdulillah, good fishing.
Right.
We found it more the opposite way. Like how you said you guys were out last week and the morning was a bit quiet.
Yeah.
And the guys that were out said in the afternoon, they caught.
Right.
We actually picked up more in the morning first.
Okay.
And then it was like a normal fishing day, and towards your 11, 12 o'clock, once night started really getting very hot, it became a bit quiet.
Right.
And then about from the afternoon, a later part of the afternoon, about 3, 4 o'clock again, it started coming on very, very good again. Fortunately, that Sunday we couldn't get that afternoon run, because whilst we were fishing, and I think just about that time when it started picking up at around 4, quarter past 4, we then actually received a phone call about a funeral in the family, and we had to then just like, instantly pack up everything and then leave from there. But the Saturday that we were there, we only got there around 3 o'clock to the water. And that Saturday from about 4, quarter past 4 again, it was, the fishing was like really, really good. Very, very good it was. So overall the weekend I think was very good. The place we had to go and stay at was quite good. We stayed at a place about 50 to 60 kilometers away from the Deir Madir.
Yeah.
And not the owner, the foreman or the manager of this lodge, his name was I think Marta or something, but what a wonderful guy, what a good guy. In terms of entertaining people, his approach towards you, the way he handled everything else, in terms of arranging for the bride facilities and what have you. In fact, when we left again that Sunday morning at about 4 a.m. or half past 4 in the morning, this guy was awake to actually see you leaving and to make sure that you had a good time at his lodge and everything was fine for you. And so
you're
overall, Shukar, I think it was after some time. I think the last I was gone out was before Ramadan.
Yeah.
After some time, it was a good weekend, Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. I said you're telling us everything, but you're not telling us where you went.
Here in Pretoria. Oh,
is it one of a private?
No. Ronostaco.
Oh, okay. So Luqman was talking earlier on about Renostar, and he mentioned that things haven't been too good. So you say things should be picking up, inshallah.
I would think so, but I'm going to fully agree with Luqman. It's never going to be like what it used to be.
Yeah, right.
It's never going to be like what it used to be previously. I mean, you never needed to actually even know how to catch a bass fish.
Yeah.
And you'd go to Renostar and it would be just exceptionally fun.
Right.
I mean, why is even bass fishing for your kerpa? You would end up picking bass on a kerpa rod with bait that you're using for kerpa. So you never even needed to know actually how to fish for bass, and you would go to Ronoste and you would have a wonderful time. I don't know. We hope we're wrong, inshallah, but I doubt it will ever come back to that again. I doubt we'll ever come back to that again, because you, like Luqman said, the pressure on the dam, the amount of fishermen, the water levels are just not going up in the dam as well.
Yes.
The water levels are not going up, so naturally that oxygen and all of that also. I mean, from the first time I saw the dam to now, the water level has just been dropping and dropping and dropping and dropping. Every time you go, the water is even lower and even lower. Although there is still a lot of water, I'm not going to say no. The dam is extremely huge. It still carries a lot of water. It's not like a crisis type of thing where we had in the Sipoho about 2 years back.
Yes, remember about the cows dying on the side.
So I'm not going to say it's such a thing, but the water level is nowhere near what it used to be, or I would probably say what it should be at.
Yes.
It's like quite low.
Well, that is the start.
stark reality that we've got to come to terms with. You know, I was actually doing a lesson with my kids about the importance of water. And generally, if you read and if you follow all the latest trends, you'll find that there is a shortage of water. Water sources are being depleted. We're not getting enough rain. You know, that's the general talk. I mean, there are parts in our own country where people are experiencing drought. So we need to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us in terms of this. We are so fortunate that we open up a tap and fresh, clean water comes out of the tap. You know, it's something that we cannot take for granted. You know, just become a little bit more conscious when you are working with water. Sometimes, like I always tell the kids at school, bring a bottle, fill your bottle up, and close the tap when you're done, instead of opening the tap up. And it's a simple thing sometimes, you know. Sort out the leaks in your house. Let's go there. Sort out the leaks in your house, because sometimes just by simple leaking taps, tons of water is wasted in that particular manner. So
I mean, we talk about it in a general term. Look at the wonderful advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he said to the Sahaba that you should preserve and save water even if you are making wudu at the bank of a flowing river. Subhanallah.
Subhanallah.
So, I mean, really, we like you said, we open the tap and water comes out. And then how much don't we waste? How much don't we waste when the water is running, the tap is running just like that? So, yeah, I mean, the Nabi is just to emphasize and show the importance. He's saying even at the bank of a flowing river, that's when you preserve the water. So I think it's very, very important. I mean, yeah, like we were saying about Nasser very quickly, I know we've got to start wrapping up the program now, but I just feel that, yes, it would much, come much better. Inshallah, it would come much better. Yes, naturally you are going to suffer in terms of quantity and quality both. But I just, for some reason, felt that the spawn still wasn't full on. That is why I asked Luqman this question. Like, perhaps in Netsiboko, you know, for some reason, some dams sometimes, or on some particular seasons, the spawn just starts a bit later than normal. And I just got this feeling that this season is one of them. Because if you really look at it, our weather only kind of settled in the last week or two, are
you? Yes.
So, I just feel that the spawn is probably starting a bit later than usual. Maybe by the next full moon, that is by the end of this month, it should be on for you.
Inshallah. Before we log off, I just wanted to give an important message out. You know, I was one of our sponsors for the program for next week, Brother Ubaidullah Mehter from Kempton Park Bait and Tackle, was telling me that in Ramadan time, there was this guy that went fishing, you know, bass fishing in PE somewhere. Mm-hmm. And their boat capsized and both of them drowned, Muslim guys. And what very important message that he was actually trying to confer to the people out there, and he said he did try to phone us sometime, but unfortunately he didn't get through, was that wear life jackets when you are on the boat.
Yes,
very, very important. People today are becoming more adventurous. They're taking canoes and kayaks. Kayak fishing is becoming very common now, even on the dams. Last week, apparently there was a father and a son at Boskop with their kayak, you know. But luckily they had their life jackets on, alhamdulillah, and the boat did capsize. So the father quickly managed to get his son and put it. What we're trying to say to people is be safe.
Yes.
You know, I mean, those things have been developed and created for you to use for part of your safety. And sometimes you don't know, you can never know when it's going to happen. You might think, okay, you know what, I'm at a safe spot now, and you know,
nothing can happen. You never know.
That couple of years ago we were on Loskop, and you 1 minute the weather was fine. Within 2 minutes, the wind just picked up and suddenly the boat started moving all over the place. Rather, like he says,
safer than sorry.
Ubaidullah Rochelle telling me yesterday is, please, he's asking the people. And I think as a program, Screaming Reels, it's very, very important that we know people are going to be taking their boats out now. The weather is changing. Safety first, please. Make sure you have a life jacket, and especially if you take
and like you're saying, Adelaide, I think you're going out on the waters to enjoy yourself, to be with your family, to have some sort of pleasure. You don't want to act brave or act like a hero.
Yes.
and end up causing things for yourself or your family. Either way, at the end of the day, I know people are going to turn on and say, well, it's taqdeer, it's meant to happen, it's supposed to have happened, but from our side, we've got to take the necessary precautions.
Definitely.
And we've got to do what is important for us to do as well.
Definitely. We have to look after ourselves. I get very worried, especially when people take kids out. You must make sure that you put your life jacket on for the kids. And even if you have to spend a little bit extra money to buy the right size life jacket, it can help to save, or make a bad incident, save it from turning nasty.
We'll catch up with you next week, Saturday, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and assalamu alaikum to all our wonderful.
Assalamu rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Streaming reels on Radio Islam is casting you into the exciting world of fishing. Screaming Reels was sponsored by Solly's Angler's Corner, your fishing tackle specialist. Call us at Johannesburg on 011-493-1848 and for ways on 011-465-2937.